Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
So here's the craziness of the National Football League. It's Dukes and Bell. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and thanks for making us, Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Mike, sometimes these owners don't know what they want to do until they're told this is what you should be doing. And even then, sometimes they don't make the decision. So we've been wondering why Trent Baalke, who's been in Jacksonville for a long time and the orchestrator of absolutely nothing, why he continued to have his general manager's job, yet they continued to change coaches. Now, look, it wasn't Trent Baalke's fault that Urban Meyer came in there and acted like an idiot. But he was there before Urban Meyer, and he was there after, and they have fired coaches since. And it just came down that he is now out as the general manager of the Jags. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, saying, we came to a mutual decision. It's in our best interest to part ways. Mike, we just talked about this yesterday, and you brought this up later in the show. Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers, was the front runner. And then today we find out that he turned the job down to basically go back to the Bucs and become one of the highest paid OCs in the NFL. And I guess that ticked off Shad Khan, saying, why can't we get the guy that we want? And you know what? You're not doing your job, Trent Baalke, and so I'm going to fire you. I don't know, but this to me is well overdue.
See, this is where you get into it, and you wonder. I always in these arguments with people. I say, you know, the NFL's incompetent. Look at the officiating. They won't spend more money to dedicate it. And guys, well, how could you say the NFL's incompetent? I go, because they got incompetent billionaires. They're billionaires, Carl. They were really good in the case of Shad Khan, making bumpers for cars and fabricating stuff and becoming a billionaire with that. Owning football teams, he knows nothing about. You know, he knows how to market. His son knows about wrestling. But when it comes to the NFL, he's an idiot. That's just fair where it's at. Nobody wanted Trent Baalke around. Everybody was saying, how's he keeping him? Hell, Carl, we talked about it a few weeks ago. He even had a video, I think it was on Jacksonville TV, on a split screen, where somebody asked him the question, what if a coach came in and wanted to work and had an idea with another guy in the personnel department? He goes, yes, we would entertain that idea. And Baalke's like right next to him on the split screen, and he's looking at it like, what? I'm right here, sir. I'm right here. So you just have some guys that just don't know what they're doing. And Shad Khan would be one of those guys. So mazel tov, and not sure who the new guy is going to be as GM, but I mean, and I don't know if people are either scared of, they don't believe in Trevor Lawrence, or they don't believe in Baalke, or all of the above.
Yeah, because look, shouldn't that be one of the most attractive jobs in the NFL? Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick. We know about his arm talent. I don't care about what he did at Clemson. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking around the league, the Jags' job is way more attractive than the Raiders' job. In some people's eyes, it was more attractive than the Jets' job. Like, there's something right there. You've got that piece that you absolutely need, and yet they can't find a guy. And I think it had to do with what Trent Baalke was saying and talking about and his image around the league. I'm sorry. And Mike, listen, this stuff follows you, man. I mean, if you've been a jerk somewhere else, 49ers, you've been a jerk and you've done things, that stuff follows you. And I think now it's finally caught up with them. I'm not telling you Baalke's not going to work in the league again. But I also think, like, the owner was almost blind to it. And, like, okay, well, what do we need to do? Because, guys, this wasn't his business. He's not Arthur Blank, who's been in this now 30 years and has owned a team. He is fairly a new owner who is trying to figure this out. So, yeah, I just – that's one of those deals. And everybody's like, if you're listening to us right now, you're going, man, you guys are going in on this. Because this is the kind of stuff that Mike and I talk about all the time. And we say, hey, some of these owners don't get it.
They just don't. And that's, you know, as I said, you can be successful in some areas. And for instance, no one's going to ask you or me to do any brain surgery anytime soon, Carl, you know, or prepare someone's taxes. Okay. We talk on the radio. That's our sweet spot. You know, Shad Khan, as I said, really good at, you know, finding ways to get bumpers and make stuff for cars, you know, NFL ownership. He's just like Tepper. Tepper's a genius on Wall Street, yes. Comes in with his monster ego and doesn't have time to let things germinate, blows things up. Alienates everybody from, you know, basically, how do you screw up as an NFL owner? Counties literally bending over backwards to give you free real estate, and he still found a way to screw that up. So it is amazing. You wonder how these guys, aside, you know, look, the guys who inherited the team from their dad, we know what that is. But some of these other guys, you wonder how they ever got to be billionaires.
Yeah. All right, you guys can hit us up. That news just breaking. And as we said, look, this is that time, like, between now and the championship games and then the Super Bowl. And the NFL doesn't want stuff to take away from the game. They won't allow this news, these kinds of stories, once we get to Super Bowl week, because that's what they want everybody focused on. But, Mike, we're going to see more of this kind of stuff where coaches are hired, we'll shake our heads, or general managers being hired. I think there are three general manager jobs now. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. So this makes four GM jobs open. Is that right, in the league?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So now all of a sudden, I think we had six coaches or seven, and now there are four general managers jobs open. Crazy. All right, man, before we get into fourth and one, I just want to ask you guys something. Was Brock Purdy one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year? More importantly, let me ask you this. Was he better than Sam Darnold? Was he better than Matthew Stafford? Was he better than C.J. Stroud? I'm just throwing it out there. Guys, I'm willing to tell you that Aaron Rodgers was better than Brock Purdy this year. And this was a contract year. Now, not all his fault. He didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and we know the injuries, and Debo, and Ayuk, blah, blah, blah. But, Mike, I cannot pay Brock Purdy what is being reported, which gets us to our fourth and one. So, Mike, are we just going to get to a point where we go, that's the going rate, and we just kind of shake it off? $60 million, is what, regardless of how good you are?
Well, it all goes back to how do you fit the Shanahan system? Is Shanahan going to say to John Lynch, look, I don't want to have to go through the process of breaking in another quarterback. I think we've got a good thing going here. I think this year was like the outlier was the injuries killed us. Losing McCaffrey and everything else that happened at wide receiver. You know, they had some problems. I went back and looked at it. Brock Purdy is 10th in the league in passing yards, but as far as touchdowns, not even close. If you go back for a correlation type statistic year, Brock Purdy this year had almost identical numbers to Matt Ryan's last year with the Falcons in 2021. Identical with 20 touchdowns and 12 picks, and had a few more. Matt had a few more passing yards. So it really comes to me. This is about Shanahan. He'll dictate where the 49ers go with this.
So, but wasn't Matt in decline at that point?
Yes. I think we saw it. Brock Purdy is 15th in touchdowns in the league. Caleb Williams and him both had 20 touchdowns this year. Put that in perspective.
Okay.
Stafford had only the Rams, because of all the injuries at the wide receiver with Puka Nacua, he only had 20 touchdowns this year as well.
Yes, yes. And here's the deal. When I watch Matthew Stafford, I am never fearful that he's going to blow the game. I'm a little nervous still when I watch Brock Purdy. And Mike has said this to me. Look, from day one, I was not convinced that Brock Purdy was – he's a serviceable guy. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't I wasn't under the assumption that he was going to be a difference maker. And then, you know, he gets hurt in the playoff game a few years ago, and everybody says, man, look what they were without him. Okay. And then I realized, like, this season where these injuries happen, you know, again, think about Joe Burrow, man. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, I have no issues paying Joe Burrow what he's getting paid because, Mike, dude had no defense. And for half the year, you know, they couldn't protect him. And Joe Burrow didn't give a damn.
He's a rock star.
He's right, he is. And so for Purdy to say, or at least is his representation, that, you know, maybe we're looking at $55 or $60 million, that's Dak money. And I'm not telling you Dak's deserving, but the fact is Dak put himself in position to be paid that. I just have a big problem if that happens because, Mike, you talk about resetting the market. You're going to have what we have in the NBA. Average guys making $30 million in the NBA, not hardly playing. That's a lot of what's going on right now in the NBA. And you can't have that at that position, Mike, in the NFL.
No, I mean, look, the two highest paid guys of the top five, you know, Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence, they played 18 games combined. You know, Trevor Lawrence was banged up for much of the season for Jacksonville. Do you consider Trevor Lawrence elite? We thought Peterson would get him on track. Didn't happen. Nope. You know, there's rumors now Brian Schottenheimer, the OC the last few years, is going to be the new Cowboys head coach. You got to be kidding me. So, you know, you got to have the right guy. Shanahan, I think, could make anybody look good, to your point. So if you're John Lynch and you feel I'm willing to go to the, you know, pull it off the tree, or unless you want to get it out of the barrel in free agency, yeah, it might be the happy medium, but you got to find a number that's, to your point, not top 10, and see how Brock Purdy's agent feels about that. Is Mr. Irrelevant, with his 20 touchdowns and 12 picks, worth the kind of money that you're talking about?
Yeah, and remember, here's the thing about Trey Lance. He wasn't any good. They realized that early on. They traded him. Cowboys didn't even play him, guys. When they had an opportunity, when they could...
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He could have came into the game here in Atlanta. He didn't. He's not any good. So that is what we realize now. And obviously Shanahan saw that really early and was like, okay. And then Purdy was good enough to take them where they went. But this is one of the big offseason questions we're going to be following when we talk about, you know, quarterbacks getting paid. Hey, 4th and 1 is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com as we go around the league. And this hour, of course, is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Hey, can we play a couple of these Jeff Ulbrich cuts? This is stuff that he said in the past. We just kind of want to give you some context here as we talk about Jeff and being our new defensive coordinator. He was asked about, you know, Raheem Morris. This is going back, Mike, to 2020, okay? and we talk about their relationship, but he was endorsing Raheem way back then as the Falcons head coach.
I wanted to, this might be my last opportunity with you guys, just give my endorsement of Raheem Morris, just as a head coach, whether it's here or somewhere else. Like in this day and age, this current player, this current culture in the NFL, like there's not a better candidate, in my opinion. He is like, you have to have the ability to relate to the current player. You have to have the ability to create an environment for the current player that is, football's not played the same way. And he's one of those rare guys that has that ability to create the environment that's necessary.
Okay, so that was him.
They're best friends. They're boys, Carl.
Before, and that's, again, that was 2020, all right? We wanted to go back to say, hey, what has he said in the past? And more importantly, he knows some of the personnel here. Listen to what he said about A.J. Terrell. This is our new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. This is 3 years ago. Listen to this.
He's played way better than the typical rookie corner. He's played way better than, I would say, the majority of corners in this league, you know, so it's just such a bright spot going forward into what he will become.
So he's familiar with AJ. Obviously, the endorsement of Raheem. And by the way, he wasn't the only coach saying that. A lot of coaches felt that way. He goes to L.A., wins a Super Bowl, and ultimately gets his shot here. But a lot of coaches had given him an endorsement. One other thing from Jeff Ulbrich. It's our NFL, as we talk about the NFL, should I say, in fourth and one segment. Jeff was talking about what they had to do to get better on defense. Mike, this is going back a few years when we weren't really good, and he was here before, you know, they changed the staff and obviously brought in Arthur Smith.
When that plan isn't quite working out the way you anticipated, it's hard sometimes to change course, you know, and because you feel like at times you're almost you're compromising the vision, you're compromising the principles, you know. And I felt like as the year evolved, that we evolved in that way, where we didn't compromise our principles, but we did evolve as a defense and found, I think, better ways to utilize the guys that were out there playing for us.
The only reason we're playing this stuff is if you hadn't heard him or you're unfamiliar with him, and most Falcon fans are because he was here, he knows the building. He knows what he's getting into. Hopefully, Mike, that helps. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like a different approach, something, you know, coming at it from a different angle. But if you can get better dudes in the draft, and what do we got in our budget, free agency, then maybe he's the guy. My first impulse was, he's not the guy.
Right.
Maybe I'll eat crow by this time next year, but I wanted something different. They went with familiarity.
Coming up, we're going to talk some Braves with a really cool dude. Pierce Johnson set to join us. Braves reliever, he'll jump on the show next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know many of you still dealing with the weather that took place over the last 24, 48 hours, and we understand that. So just be safe, man, if you're out there, and the temps have not helped the roads. But we got to talk to our Brave reliever, Pierce Johnson, who joins us here on Dukes and Bell. 6-6 last year, a 1.30 whip, 67 strikeouts, and a 3.67 ERA. Pierce, man, we appreciate you jumping on. By the way, what are you doing this offseason, man? What are you? Where are you at? Are you here in the A? Are you somewhere else? And what's been going on with you?
I am currently in Denver, Colorado. So as you guys have gotten snow, I sent it your way. So I guess blame me.
Right.
But just enjoying family, getting ready for next season, enjoying my workouts, and just, like I said, the time with family.
Well, hey, man, the bullpen, great job last year. 23, an amazing job as well. I was joking around with Carl because we need to get some more guys to help you guys out in that pen. What are the odds you're going to be hanging out in the bullpen this year looking over and Jesse Chavez will be back? It's like probably pitching with your dad.
Oh, yeah, and I love Chavi. He's the best. We've talked a lot this offseason, and I really hope he gets a chance to come back. But, you know, he's had an incredible career. But he was such a good influence on everybody in the pen, too. I mean, the dude has seen it all, done it all, pitched in every situation. And he was just such a good guy on and off the field, but such a good guy for the young guys, too, to just kind of have a mentor like that.
Pierce Johnson joining us here. Braves pitchers and catchers report fairly quickly. By the way, how you feel physically, man? How you been throwing any? What's that about?
Oh, yeah. Been throwing, lifting. I feel great. I'm ready to get out of this cold weather and get down to Florida for some spring training and put some cleats on. I've only been throwing inside because it's, you know, Colorado weather hasn't been too nice to me. But, yeah, I'm feeling great and excited.
Yeah, man, going into your ninth year, and I mean, what is spring? I mean, I always joke. Here's the thing, Carl. Perfect opportunity. I always joke around. How much time do you guys really need? Do you really need all that time? I mean, talk to the listeners about the routine and how you amp it up and ramp it up.
Well, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. It's kind of a loaded question, but spring training is really for the starting pitchers, right? Because it's hard to simulate innings and facing batters and the up downs and everything. So really, spring training is mainly for the starting pitchers. Relievers, I'm sure you could go out there, get, you know, 5-6 appearances and be completely fine, maybe even less than that for some guys. But, you know, if you're trying to earn a position, if you're a young guy trying to prove yourself, or if you're a guy working on something, the extra reps is never a bad thing, really just to showcase yourself and you know, kind of iron out some stuff you're working on. But, you know, spring – It's 6 weeks of every day, early mornings, practice, games, and then crashing early.
Pierce, you played for Cubs. You've played for the Giants, the Padres, the Rockies. Hell, you even played in Japan, which we'll talk about here in a sec. But I'm curious about, you know, Snit and playing for him, because we've talked to a variety of guys on the club, and it's like, man, he's the coolest dude. Like, Snit is one of the best managers I played for. In your experience, since you've played in a bunch of places, how would you describe Snit, his style and his approach to how he manages, but more importantly, how he deals with you guys on a day-to-day basis?
Calm, cool, and collected. My man is awesome. Just being able to go out every day and have somebody who's always in your court, you know, always pulling for you to do well, you know, good or bad, he's got your back. You know, it's kind of a testament to how good the team is. I mean, obviously we got a ton of talent, but he's the captain of the ship, right? And he, when you have a manager like that who is really calm in tough situations and in big pressure moments, you know, it kind of feeds into the dugout and on the players. And, it's truly a game changer having a guy like him. Plus, he's a guy who's just going to give you the truth, good or bad. And as a player, that's all you can really ask for. And when you feel valued and respected from someone of that caliber, you're going to get the best out of your team. And I think that's a big reason why we are so good.
It is Pierce Johnson with us, guys. Before you know it, pitchers and catchers report. And we said, I know that this year they went with a guy from the Brewers. I'm not going to get you to talk about somebody else. I just felt Snicker did a hell of a job considering all the injuries you guys had to overcome. And I get it. We're always going for the World Series here in town. But just making the playoffs seemed like a hell of an accomplishment this last year.
Without a doubt. I mean, look, we lost our MVP in Acuna. We got a Cy Young candidate in Strider. Ozzie was out multiple times. Riley, who is incredible at third base, you know, underrated in my opinion, he was out for a while. We had, you know, just a plethora of injuries. And you know, the next man up mentality was kind of the thing that we kind of harped on. And everybody who came up did such a good job. And then you guys got, like, Schwellenbach coming up and just absolutely outperforming everybody's expectations and really being an anchor for us. Holmes, the bullpen. I mean, Chavi was doing it at, what, 41 years old? Chuck was doing it at 41 years old. I mean, just everybody stepped up when we needed them to. And, you know, injuries are part of the game, sadly, but we were hit with it hard last year.
Pierce, I got to ask you something because I heard this and I was like, no way. So your dad was in baseball, but I heard that your dad was also in that legendary photo of Michael Jordan taking off from the free throw line in the dunk contest. And I'm like, how? Kind of put this together for us. What is it true, number one? And two, dad was in baseball. What was the deal? What's the background here? What's the backstory?
Yeah, so my dad was actually a college football player at Colorado State. And then he went right out of college and was working for the Denver Nuggets in marketing. And I don't know how it came out, but he earned his way to do and host the NBA All-Star Game. NBA All-Star Game. So he was doing the dunk contest, three-point contest, the game. He was hosting all of that stuff and kind of facilitating all that. And so his stories about Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and all these guys are incredible. But, yeah, that photo, the iconic photo of him dunking from the free throw line, he is in the bottom row. He's kneeling. He's wearing a blue tie and a headset. And minus his gray hair, he looks the same to this day. So
that's crazy. That is crazy.
That's wild.
Did your dad, like, you know I'm in that photo?
We call it the Don Johnson photo, to be honest.
That's awesome. That is a crazy story.
Great.
I was like, there's no way. So I wanted you to confirm that's bananas. We're talking with Pierce Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, Pierce, I love the movie Mr. Baseball. And years ago, the Falcons were in Japan, so I got a chance to go watch a Japanese baseball game in Tokyo. You got a chance to play over there. Well, how trippy is that experience? It seems like those guys are throwing like every inning. If you're a relief pitcher, you got to have a rubber arm in Japan.
Yeah, let me tell you, I got up a lot. I know I didn't throw as much in games per se. We also played less games, but man, it was an incredible experience. I was in a situation that was kind of perfect to go over there, right? I burned all my options as an up and down guy and became a minor league free agent. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go out there. Let's have a blast. I had some friends who had done it and spoke incredibly highly of it. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And honestly, it was the best decision I've ever made. It was an incredible experience for myself, for my wife. They treated me like a rock star. baseball was incredible. You know, they take their baseball so serious. It was like a college football game every night. They had drums in the outfield. They had, you know, those big horns, the kazoos or whatever you call them. I mean, they took their baseball so serious, and it was an absolute blast.
Wow. With the language barrier, like, Pierce, how hard was that? Like, just maneuvering and getting around, or was it fairly easy? Did you have a translator with you? What was that like?
I had a translator, and he and I are still tight to this day. We actually FaceTimed a couple days ago, but he was the man. He helped me with literally every aspect of my life over there, and honestly, we became really good friends and are still in touch to this day.
That's crazy.
Very cool.
Hey, before we let you go, we're talking with Pierce Johnson, guys, our Braves reliever, one of them, getting ready for spring training here as we start to amp up our coverage of the Braves. Obviously, Pierce had a great season last year, and we're hoping to get back to the playoffs. Who was your favorite guy watching growing up? Did you have did you watch a specific pitcher? Who was your guy?
So back to your earlier question too, when my dad worked in Major League Baseball, he was vice president of marketing for the San Diego Padres. So when I was at a young age, I lived in San Diego, and Tony Gwynn was my idol. I literally wouldn't even answer to Pierce. You had to call me Tony to get my attention. Tony Gwynn was my idol, but when I became a pitcher, and that was kind of, you know, I knew that route was for me. Roy Halladay, being a Colorado guy, he grew up just down the street from me. Roy Halladay was my idol as a pitcher. Yeah.
He was a dude, too. Roy was a dog, man. He was so good. That's great stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, we know that you are just as cold, maybe even colder, in Colorado. I got family in Colorado. They keep sending me the temps, and I'm like, well, I'll take what we've got here. So I know it's cold there. But it's going to warm up soon enough, and you'll be down there at spring training getting ready for another season, man. Pierce, man, we appreciate you stopping by, man. You're welcome anytime. Thanks again.
Hey, Carl, Mike, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Take care. Stay warm.
Yeah, we'll
try.
Mike, you said it. We need some more arms, man, in the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, like that's not Pierce is not in the personnel department. He's just in getting guys out department. He did a really nice job the last couple of years. But we do need some dudes. Losing Joe Jimenez was a big hit, you know. And I was half kidding when I was talking about Jesse Chavez. Jesse Chavez did an interview in San Francisco where he still wants to play. And you know how we operate, Carl. You can get him down here for a penny less. I wouldn't rule out Uncle Jesse coming back with those white frames.
Yeah, man, no man's on the way, guys. We'll find out what Turtle's talking about next. Thanks to Pierce Johnson for stopping by. Cool dude. We got a lot of cool guys on our Braves squad, man. I just hope we can add some pieces that are going to help us get back to the playoffs, and hopefully we stay healthier than we did last year. We have to. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk some college football, Mike. And also we'll get back into some NFL news. Lots of NFL stuff happening, guys. And it's not necessarily our Falcons. It's just stuff going on around the league. Trent Baalke fired today as the GM of the Jags. So, you know, look at Trevor Lawrence real quick before we get to Turtle. You become the number one overall pick, and you get Urban Meyer as your first guy. He's a clown show. Your development gets stalled. So they fire him. They bring in Doug Peterson. The general manager's still in place. The team doesn't necessarily get better, and you've been fighting injuries. Now they fire that head coach, and now they fire the general manager. So all of a sudden now, Trevor Lawrence is on his third head coach, Mike, And we talk about this stuff like, oh, well, you guys can overcome this. You can't, because now you're bringing a new staff, maybe a new system. This is why guys don't necessarily turn out to be the way that we expect them to be, because it's not all Trevor Lawrence's fault that the organization has been a mess.
No, man, for all the guys that make it, there's guys that go through these kind of histories. And, you know, it's like, hey, there's somebody right now on a playground who could have been in the NBA, you know what I mean? Somebody at Rutgers or something, you know? You got to get the right circumstances, too, along with the ability. But, look, 5 years, $275 million. He's making $55 million a year. So we were talking earlier about Brock Purdy. I mean, I'm not thinking he's going to get that much, but I think there's just such a dearth, a shortage of quality quarterbacks. You go with familiarity. I mean, look, they believe in him. Whoever comes in here has got to make it work. It's got to be an offensive-minded guy, unless the Buccaneers OC just use it as leverage to get a raise from Tampa, which he did. Or, you know, Shad Khan and his guys screwed it up and realized, we can't get anybody in here unless we fire the general manager, which, based on their brand, is kind of going bass-ackwards, but that's why the Jaguars are who they are.
Yeah. More on this coming up, guys. We'll get you caught up on all of that. Also, Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour to talk some Hawks, some NBA. Hawks get Detroit tonight down at State Farm Arena. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on, man? How was your night, by the way? You got home yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, I got home. The roads were not great. I'm not going to lie to you. And they were worse this morning. It is just all one big sheet of ice here in Midtown. Anybody walking on the streets, be careful. There are some areas that are fine, and then you walk 2 feet in front of your face, and I saw probably 4 people slip and fall on their face in a one-mile span last night. So it's definitely a situation where you want to avoid if possible. It is 35 degrees out right now, so hopefully that'll help a little bit now that we're above freezing.
Chris, yeah. The question is, were those sidewalks properly cleaned? If not, call John Foy, Carl.
He is the strong arm, after all.
Yes, he is.
I would say 75-25. Most buildings did a good job of cleaning off their area. But there are these little patches where, I said, a good 4 people I saw, including one guy, literally went head over heels, just did a complete somersault in the middle of the street. It was not pretty. But trending in the right direction now with the temps going up. Can I interest you? He's 33, but 2 years ago he had 17 sacks. This year he had 6 in 16 games, but he's coming back. Khalil Mack has said he was contemplating retirement, but he wants to play at least one more year. Oh. He is 107.5 career sacks in 11 seasons with the Chargers, Bears, and Raiders. His best days arguably are behind him, but he would still be by far and away the Falcons' best pass rusher if they could sign him. He would probably want somewhere in the neighborhood of at least $17 million. That's the going rate. Yeah, man, no man. Would you take a chance?
Mike? Yes, with our history? Yes, yes. Remember the movie Sexy Beast? Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, man, at this point, I'm willing to roll the dice. Look, Calais Campbell still had something left in the tank last year in Miami. I'll take, by all means necessary, to pump some life into this defense because, you know, whatever we're going to do, though, got to be on a budget, Carl, based on what we're perceiving to be the cap issues.
Okay. Why are we going to run this back like we just did with Judon? We need fresh, young legs. Chris, I don't want it. And it's not because I don't think Khalil Mack could help. Mike's probably right. Could he come in here and get 5 sacks? Yes. Would he be maybe the best pass rusher we've had in a very long time? Yes. But we need young, fresh legs. I don't want to hope and wish that we're going to get a performance from a guy who's already past his prime. Why are you teasing me with this? You bring this up like I'm supposed to get excited like I did with Judon, and Judon did absolutely, you want to say it with me? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. So, no, I don't want it, Chris. Stop getting people excited about old-ass pass rushers.
Boom. Chris, dude had 6 sacks last year opposite Bosa. Bosa was banged up a little bit. He had 17 2 years ago. And I'm just – only reason I would say yes, and Carl's making great points about let's stop bringing retreads in who got nothing left. We brought in Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell 2 years ago, and they would have been the best defensive pieces on this team, you know, not named A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates last year. So, I mean, you can get the right guys. Yeah. Price has got to be right. But you've also got to hope that our general manager can draft guys. He has not shown the ability to draft pass rush other than Ebiketie, who is showing signs. We've been talking about that for years now.
It's fair.
Strip sack.
But guys, you know the cliche, you can't coach scared. You can't sign free agents scared. Just because Judon didn't work, that does not automatically mean that Khalil Mack would come in here and be a bust.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
How?
Yes, it does.
How, Sway?
Because we're living in the past. Why did I sound like Bill Cosby? We're living in... Listen, we can't go back and continue to do this time and time again, Chris. I'm not living scared. Just at that position, there are certain positions. Do not misunderstand me here. There are certain positions. If you told me we're going to draft a 33-year-old offensive, or excuse me, go out and get and acquire a 33-year-old offensive lineman to back up, Lindstrom. Fine. Not at the edge, man. I need a producer at the edge. And by the way, Mike Bell was right about Fisk with the Rams. You know, for all the conversation we had, this dude had impact his rookie season. That's what I'm looking for. Give me some of that, Turtle. That's all I'm saying.
Well, just for an example, Warren, Stephon Gilmore, former defensive player of the year. You know where he wound up this season?
Where?
Minnesota. You know what he did? Veteran presence that helped lead them to 14 wins. So it's not impossible. There are examples of guys who you would think would be on the back end of their career, but a guy like Gilmore went in there, played with a bunch of young guys, and was able to have success. So it's
Khalil Mack is washed up, dude. Come on.
Washed up. He had 17 sacks 2 years ago.
2 years ago? 2 years ago, I had less wrinkles in my face. He's washed up.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, let's stop doing this.
Well, the guy I'd be interested in, how about Josh Sweat? How about Sweat? Now, granted, he's surrounded by talent with the Eagles. Just throwing some names out there. Hassan Reddick, I mean, that seems like I don't want to deal with his bad juju. But there's not a lot of – I mean, if you're looking for free agents, there's not a lot of guys.
Real quick,
I mean,
Chris,
Khalil Mack actually rates higher than some of those other dudes.
What did Reddick do, by the way? Because once he got there, we really didn't pay attention.
He didn't do anything. He played
nothing.
He played like in three games. He didn't do anything.
Okay.
Right.
And he's a he's a basket case and a half. We don't need that.
Nope.
We don't need that at all. And by the way, you could argue Mike Bell is in much better shape than he was 2 years ago. So, Carl, there's another point in our favor.
Well, yes, there is, but this is rare. Okay?
It's rare for me.
I mean, let's not act like this is the norm. How many people right now are listening to us, sorry, folks, and you're saying, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. Bullcorn. You're not. Okay? It's rare. You may lose 20 and then you'll get back on the same train you've been on. That's just what happens. I don't want to do that when it comes to the edge.
Man, Carl. By the way, Carl and Chris, may I recommend ATL Live Well for those looking to lose the weight and keep it off? Thank you. ATL Live Well, conveniently located next to the battery.
Yeah, don't just live well.
And Chris, by the way, I can say that because I know how hard it is. I've been on that train. Up, down, around. I've lived it my entire life. I can say that. I know. So I just know how difficult it is for everybody to be like, yeah, that's the easy thing. Going to get Khalil Mack is the easy thing. How much better does it really make you? Mm. That's my question.
Well, here's real quick. Chris, I mean, here's your segment, Chris, for hijacking. I'm sorry.
He asked us.
But if Khalil Mack, I mean, at 34, it's not like he's 50. I mean, if he can give you what Dwight Freeney didn't exactly blow doors, but he helped the other guys. If that gets more out of Ebiketie across the way, because look, you're hoping that, you know, Braylon Trice coming off a knee is going to step in. Ruka Roho. See, that's the thing. We got two cute drafted projects. You just mentioned Fisk and Verse. I mean, the Rams went and got killers in the middle rounds. We went and did projects in the middle of rounds. We ignored basic needs that were cornerbacks, and there was a run on corners in the second round. So that's why I'm saying go get a guy like Khalil Mack is I don't trust our GM to go get some guys in the draft. That's my problem. Back to you, Chris.
All right.
Carl, you usually call me pessimistic. I mean, man, you're out here raining on everybody's parade.
Well, now, listen, you're teasing a Falcon fan when you're like, we should go get Khalil Mack. I'm like, no, let's not do this.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not getting Hassan Reddick. I just know that. So I'd take Khalil Mack over him any day. If you're a national championship head coach in men's basketball, let's say the likes of a Coach K or, you know, all the guys from North Carolina over the years, you would think that would maybe give you some leeway on the court when it comes to your actions. Well, According to NCAA insider Jeff Goodman, Mr. Hurley over there in UConn is facing a lot of backlash because he apparently is taking it to a personal level with a lot of these referees in college basketball. And quotes like, "Don't turn your back on me, I'm the best coach in the blanking sport," have emerged. This coming after UConn's 80-78 overtime win over Butler. Hurley apparently has been surly, pun intended there, on the court. And he is pushing the boundaries when it comes to what is acceptable and what is not on the court. Yeah, man, no man. When you have as much success as he had, do you get more leeway? Or does he need to back off a little bit?
I mean, I got to say that we like Bobby, and we always have great conversations with his bro. His brother is not as successful, obviously, as a basketball coach. I've seen Mike Krzyzewski when he was in the old days of Alexander Memorial and then later on McCamish. I mean, just totally, Carl, abuse ACC refs. Any other coach would have been, I mean, ejected a million times. But again, when you get to be at that level, you expect that you're going to get the juice and you're going to get the calls. But I mean, with all the hubris of Krzyzewski, with the aw shucks demeanor, he never dropped that. Boy, is that some a-hole crap to throw out at a ref. I mean, I respect Dan Hurley. He is a hell of a coach, and you know, he had a flirtation with the Lakers and everything. But that's, I mean, boy, oh boy, what a D-bag thing to say to the refs, even if you aren't getting the calls, and then go, "Well, look at the other guys." Well, yeah, the other guys aren't, you know, multiple national champs. They're not going to have the camera on them like they're going to have on you, Coach Hurley.
Yeah, I think there's a line to cross, or that he's crossed, when you start to, "Don't turn your back on me." That's the, "Who are you, Mr. T?" I mean, like, really? Come on, slow down. I'll say this. I've heard coaches say absurd stuff that has not been picked up on microphones. Like, "I'll get you kicked out of this league if you make more calls like that." I've heard this stuff. Mike, when you have the clout, you feel like you can get away with anything. And I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. And here's what's happening. You are, in fact, bullying and intimidating these officials into calls that are not real calls. And especially if you're at home, Mike, you and I both know you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, which is what happened with Coach K and Duke all those years when everybody's like, "Man, Duke, I hate Duke." You hated Duke because Coach K worked the officials so much that they were afraid to call anything against him. That is what happens. So, yes, this is a crossing the line. You don't tell referees that, man. Let them do their job. You can have a conversation. You can even fuss at them and cuss at them every now and then. But to act as if, like, "I will have your job," guys are fearful of that when you have these coaches who have clout.
All right, Big O, we got to run. Let's hit my music.
Khalil Mack.
"Do you know who I am?" That's what Danny Hurley did.
Yes, Snakey, we do. Coming up, UGA is ranked among the top teams for 2025. I'm talking about title contenders. Is that surprising to you? Like, we're talking about all these flaws. The Dogs are going to be good next year, guys. We'll talk about it. DraftKings has them as one of the top teams. We'll tell you why and who else is up there. Coming up as part of our Dog Report.